Good afternoon, everybody. Pastor Tom coming to you once again with another recording, and it shouldn't be too long, although I think today's might be a little bit longer than the other two that I have done. So kind of buckle up and hold on. There's some things I need to share as we move through this lesson. We're going to be looking at Psalm 91, verses 13 through 16. Now the King James, which is my normal Bible to read, it does mention some things in there that we may not be familiar with. So I thought what I would do first is go ahead and read this from the New International Version. So 91, Psalm 91, 13 through 16, says, "You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. Great verses. Once again, great hope. Now, we've been discussing some things of importance previous to this. So I want to touch on that from last week. And I want to move into today's lesson or today's sermon. Let's pray. Ask God for his blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus, these are very difficult times that we're all living in. We have found ourselves in a place that we never thought we would be. So Lord, we just pray for, again, for protection in our homes, that you would keep us all healthy, that we would follow all the advice that we're getting, and give us the strength to endure these times, because they are great. There's a lot of stress, Lord, out there. I pray that you would give us that kind of an ability to overcome and to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So, Lord, I commit this next half hour, 45 minutes into your hands, because you are the Lord our God, and you are strong and you are mighty. And we acknowledge you as the only Savior of mankind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to say about this verse, these verses here, very important that I say this. And if we take this literally, now, once again, if we go backward in time to the previous verses, it talks about that a bird would give us protection under her wings. Now, there's no way that we're going to be able to take this literally. So it has to be symbolic to something. It has to represent something else. These words that we're reading today, like those of the bird or the chicken and spreading out its wings and protecting us, and are much the same that we're looking at today. In other words, these are symbolic of something bigger, something greater. Now, that is not saying that you might sometime in your life come up against a lion or some kind of serpent or even a cobra. Who knows? These things may happen. Paul once in the Bible was reaching in to grab some wood and after his shipwreck, was a lot that went on in his life right just at that time. But the story I'm driving at is that he reached in, he grabbed some wood, I believe they were making a fire, and a snake, a poisonous snake, jumped out of that wood and bit him, and the people around him expected him to die. I mean, that's the kind of a snake it was. And Paul didn't die. Paul was able to give them the gospel, and it was a miracle of God. And it looks like these people's hearts were just open to whatever Paul was talking about. So that could happen. But I would rather look at it and say this is symbolic of something else going on. there is some other enemy out there that is coming against you. And I believe in the day that we live, these words are really, really important to hear. Very important at the time that we're living in. So I want to say that first and foremost as we move through these verses. So those walking into danger, those that are in a place in their life that they're all of a sudden, it's like the alarm goes off. Danger, danger, danger. Something is around you. Now, my mind, of course, is going to this coronavirus here while I'm talking. So it's almost a natural progression, but something has come your way. Some evil, something has happened, and you find yourself in the need of God's protection, the need of God's grace. When Paul had been, he said, I've prayed three times for this thorn in the flesh, this thing going on in his life. He said, I prayed three times for it. And God said, basically, my grace is sufficient for thee. And we have to realize that is true for us today. If you're struggling and if you're having a hard time and if doubt comes in, and especially fear, if fear is trying to come in, you've got to take a position of saying, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. I will be safe in this time in Jesus' name. I want to just address fear for a moment. It's all around us. I mean, news reports and all kind of stuff that's going on with the virus. We're locked up in our homes pretty much. We are only able to get out and go about to places that, and there's a lot of traffic on the road. Everybody's going somewhere. I just can't figure out where we're all going. Today I went to get some garden soil because I'm putting in a garden, and that place is wide open for business. And so I go there, and on the way over there, I noticed at about 8:30 this morning that the freeway was very congested with cars. And as you're driving along, you're thinking, where is everybody going? I mean, we're all going somewhere, and pretty much things other than the essentials are closed down, and which I went into Lowe's the other day just to buy some things, and sure enough, they're taping off with red tape where we're not allowed to stand with more than one person. So we're being quarantined to a little rectangle, and we're going to stand there as we do whatever we have to do, and we're not supposed to intermingle with other people. But as soon as I got out of that rectangle, I'm intermingling with people. This is really weird what's going on. But let me deal now with this idea of fear. I have to talk about it. So fear can paralyze you. It can just bring you to a screeching halt. It would almost be to the place where you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You're just so fearful. So I pray every day that this group of people, the JCCT assembly, would not be operating in fear. We're getting numbers of people that are going to be afflicted with this virus. We're also getting numbers that are totally just way too big, they're saying. Some of the models they've been using are not accurate, and all of that stuff is going to be playing into this. And I just want to say that for the next 3 to 5, 6 weeks, just hang on, buckle up, because we haven't reached the pinnacle of this thing just yet. But we will, and we will get there, and then it's going to have a decline, and then we will all be back to normal life, but I don't think it's ever really going to be normal again. I wonder about handshaking. Is that going to be now a forbidden thing in public? Touching elbows. Okay, that's the new one. I heard a guy today, a doctor, he said when he brings home groceries, he takes them out of the bag, Well, first he goes in, he brings in all the bags, those plastic bags, you know, and he goes in and he washes his hands and he sings Happy Birthday, the birthday song, two times while he's washing his hands. So he does that, and then he goes and he takes all the groceries out of the bag and it puts them all away. Then he goes, and he does it on one counter, on a one area. And then he goes and washes his hand again, and he's, Happy Birthday to you, happy, and he sings that twice, and he comes back from washing his hands, and now he's going to put away all those groceries. And then, a third time of washing your hands, so then he's going to clean the countertop. He's going to thoroughly clean the countertop where the groceries have been. Well, by the time the guy was done, I was thinking, my goodness, okay, wait a minute. How many times did you wash your hands? And you know, here's the point I'm getting at. If you forget to do the three or four times and forget about and you rush through the Happy Birthday song, I don't want you to live in fear that you're going to get this virus. I mean, you're doing what you can do. If you don't make it to the three hand washings after something like that, you only do two, I believe that God is going to take care of us. We're not doing it to spite the Lord. We're not doing it to be angry at him or I don't know what, but we're doing it and we maybe let it slip a time or two here or there. And, you know, I'm trying to wash my hands more often, and I'm trying to wash them longer. Normally, it would just be a few seconds, you know, rinse them and off, you know, on the towel and then whatever. But it's a little different now. So what I'm saying is to you is do not be operating in fear. Do not be operating in this news of the day. We have to live above these things. We've been here before as a country. The flu epidemic that broke out in 1917, 1918 was pretty bad. It was a lot worse than this. And we made it somehow through those days. My grandma and my grandpa both lived through that time, and they were young teenagers. I think my grandma might have been about 22 years old, and my grandpa was a little younger. He was 17 or 18 at that time. So that is a time in our own history that we had this happen before modern history. So these things have happened throughout our lifetime, and we'll get through it. Just remain calm. Once again, remain calm. So going back to the notes here, and the reason I brought all this up about being symbolic is that it mentions in the King James Version an adder, A-D-D-E-R. Now that is an interesting word. That's a poisonous snake. But guess where they're found? Only in the UK. I don't even know if they're found in Europe. I was reading just about the Great Britain, those isles there, that this is where that snake is found. And that tells you something about the translators of the Bible. When they came upon that name, they tried to make it in terms that the people could understand of the day, and they used the word adder. So the word adder, A-D-D-E-R, is really a poisonous snake. The NIV used the word cobra. Interesting word there. But no matter, it says those that are walking into danger will overcome huge odds. That's what I'm saying here. I'm sorry. You will be able to trample underfoot the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent. Now, once again, symbolism. You're heading into danger. You've got to picture this. You're going into danger. You've braved it out in the open. You went into a store to buy some things because you needed those things. Don't look for toilet paper. It's not to be found. But you're going into the store for other reasons. I've heard bleach is gone. I've heard milk is being rationed to some degree. I've heard bread and all of that. I've heard these things. And I think, okay, you know, what we need to go to the store. Well, you go to the store and you're going into that world that we're trying to stay away from, intermingling and all that, hunker down. And there's a word for it, stay put or something like that. But This is something you need to know, that these are dangerous serpents, a lion, a young lion represented. There's two different snakes. One's a serpent, one's a cobra or something more that like that, that's poisonous. So the picture is danger. Something is in front of you and there's red lights going off and on and you don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do what you're supposed to, but if you need to go to the store, you have to go to the store. So just take a breath in and say, okay, I'm going to go do it. And when you go into that store, you're going to be intermingling with people and you don't know who has this, who has that. And so you have to say, I am being protected by the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient. I'll be okay. I will not be overcome. I will not be taken down, and I will be victorious. I believe that is the way we're supposed to do it. Now, some may say, what if? I cannot live in the what if world. I don't know anything about tomorrow. Nothing. I have my plans and my ideas, but I don't know anything about tomorrow. Yesterday is already gone, right? I mean, we've lived through it. And then I have today that I have to be centering my life on Jesus. And so when I go into these scriptures, I'll say, wow, is God ever taking care of us at this time? He is really watching over us. So let me do something here. I'm going back to the scripture. So you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Then the Lord says this, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. God says it because you love him. He's going to protect you. I believe that these ought to be comforting words in a great way for everybody. And not to play the what if game. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Now, these verses come after, remember the whole thing I taught about the angels, that God is going to give his command to watch over you and in all your ways, and that lest you dash your foot against a stone, he's going to lift you up and so forth. So here's the point about that, bringing that those verses into this. We're not going to do something stupid. Some people, get this, you may not be aware of this, but it's around Christianity. There are some verses in the New Testament that says that if you take up serpents, they will not harm you. If you drink something that's poisonous, it will not hurt you. And these things, and then there's a group of people with those things. As they read it, they took it so literal, that they actually bring snakes, rattlesnakes, into their worship service. Now, you may have heard about this, but maybe you haven't. You can check it out. It was prominent many years ago, but I believe it's still there today. They call these people the snake handlers, and they get into this frenzy. They get into this thing about, I don't know, almost like a very evil-looking dancing to me. And all of a sudden, when they do that, somebody will bring out the snakes, the rattlesnakes, and they'll be getting a hold of those and twirling them around and above their head, and they'll be drinking this poison, and they've had a lot of deaths because of that. And what do they say? They didn't. The person that died didn't have faith. No, the truth is, you drank poison, you're going to die. That's the way it works. Now, if for some reason you didn't die, I don't know. I would not be praising God about that. Something else was working in your life, but I wouldn't be praising God for it. So the point I'm making here is that there is a lot of stupidity going on. That is tempting the Lord. If you do something like that, do not expect the hand of God to be squarely upon your life, because you have stood, as that one guy told me, go out to that road, stand in front of that truck or car going by, and God will protect you. No, he won't. We've got to use something called our brains, common sense or whatever, and know and discern the scriptures. So when we come up to these verses, we've already been warned in the Bible that we just don't tempt the Lord there in those verses. You know, you just don't throw yourself off a cliff as the devil tempted Jesus and expect the Lord to lift you up by his angels. So we don't put ourselves in harm's way. However, we do go out into the real world, and we do encounter things all the time. And this virus and so much else going on. I just can't even hardly get there for you today, because I just not the virus. I mean, I heard a number of how many people die of the flu every year and die of overdosing and drugs and suicides. Numbers are unbelievable. Never thought of those numbers before. And so now we have them. And so I am just letting you know that God is moving us in a way for protection, in a way that we can have confidence, in a way that we can believe that we're being taken care of. Because God is going to deliver us. Now, the final thought here, as I'm moving through these verses, is that God is going to rescue you, and he is going to satisfy you with a long life. Years ago, a lady that I had in my church was pastoring there in Ventura, California, and I read these verses. I don't know if it was right like this one. Maybe it was one of the Ten Commandments, but God said, with long life, I will bless you, or something like that. And she says, what if you don't want to live a long life? And I said, oh, well, I never thought about that. Is there something wrong with your life now that you want to, you know, make a quick shot up to heaven? And she said, no. I'm just wondering, if that was the case, then maybe I don't want to live to be 90 or 100. And I said, maybe long life for you would be living to maybe 70, 75. And that seemed to be taking care of the conversation a little bit. How do you answer that anyway? And how can you say, I mean, for me, I want to live a long life. I believe I will. I believe I'll be here in this earth and living to, I don't know, whatever the Lord wants. So, now we know the scriptures. Now we know what's being said. Now, let me get into some thoughts of my own while we work through this time that we're going through. Let me share number one, and I'm just going to speak from the heart, that this situation has caused one of two things to take place for people. One of two. Either they've drawn closer to God, because you're not going to stay in the middle. You're not going to be in the middle of the road in this one. This is an either or, right? Either I'm really trusting God, I'm going to go full force with Jesus, putting my full faith in him, or I choose to live in doubt and fear. There's no in between. Like, you cannot be a neutral person in this one. It's very interesting. So what I'm saying is whatever the cause of this virus, whatever is the cause of all this, I'm telling you now that it is bringing us to a place many of us are praying more than we used to. Now, I'm not saying God caused the virus. I'm just simply saying the end result now has brought us closer to God. We're more aware of things. We're more aware of our own lives, our own surroundings. We're more apt to take into consideration the world around us. Then number two, something else is happening. We have become united as a country once again. Now, I can tell you, you're going to get a lot of different newscasts out there. Different numbers are going to fly your way. The sound of an alarm is being rung, and for some, it's a loud alarm. I mean, it's like, oh no. So you kind of have to live a balanced life. But my point is that people are coming together. I heard on the news today that some people are buying material of some kind, and they're going online, I guess, to get to learn how to make a mask that you wear, and they're making masks. So much so that they ran out of the material in this one area to make these masks. Somebody came up to a nurse the other day. I heard about this in the early morning news, local news here, that somebody came up to a nurse and they told her, "Thank you for what you're doing for us. And here, I want to give you something." And the man gave her a box of medical type mask. And just out of the goodness of his heart, right? He had them. I don't know. He might have thought, "I can use them. I may need them for myself." But no, he gave them to her. Things are taking place where others are being helped. Elderly are being taken care of. There's so many things. I just want to say that we're part of something wonderful. And the back end of it, the other side is, of course, that what are we going through is awful. But then there's something about bringing us together. So I feel like this is also something that's been a positive. And number three, people seem to be getting along with one another. I might have said that earlier, but that comes to my mind now. That I know there's hoarders. I mean, going to go in the store, they're going to buy all the milk they can buy if they could. Or they're going to get all the this or the that out that they can get. And then they're going to go out there. There'll be others that are going to take advantage of this situation, and they're going to be selling their items that they have stocked up on, and they're going to sell it for a price way above and beyond the normal price, 5, 10, 15, or 20 times more than what it's actually worth. Of course, we're going to have that kind of a person around us, but we are not going to be in a place... We're in a place that we have this togetherness, this unity, and it's really spreading all around, and people are really coming together in a powerful way. I just want to say there is some kind of unity coming about from this. Number four, is that a number four? I might lose track. I didn't mark these down in my notes, but I just thought about the world that we're in today. The world, amazing. It has brought us closer as far as the world is concerned, and yet we can't travel. If you wanted to, you couldn't go to Italy right now, and they can't come here. You couldn't go to China, and they can't come here. Japan, South Korea, other countries around the world. But yet, we're aware of the world around us, the world, because we're in the same place. We find ourselves in the same boat. That's what it is. And I believe these are good qualities. So we can find something positive out of something negative. We can find the good when there's been some bad given to us. And we know all the little slogans and all the little sayings. Well, I don't need to be talking about those. But I am saying to you today that my faith in God has brought me to this place where... I don't feel down. I don't feel discouraged. I don't feel hopeless. I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't feel that way sometimes, but I just have great hope that something bigger and better is on the horizon. There's a reason for all this that has come our way, and that we can lift up the name of the Lord wherever we go. We can be positive. I do a little griping when I go out, and I just don't get... I understand about social distancing and why we're doing that, but then I go to Fry's or a Safeway or some store, and all of a sudden we're just packed in that place, and hitting carts, and there's people in there. Not everybody's wearing a mask and gloves, that's for sure. So I go, okay, what about that? So yeah, I have my little gripe session, but then I sit back and I say, no, all is well. Everything is okay. And if you need food in your home and you don't want to go out, let somebody know. I'd be glad to do it for you. If you can't get out and whatever, if that's the place, we're going to do this together. So that, I think that's very important to take into consideration. And then these verses of hope and encouragement. So with that said, I come to my very last point that I want to make with this recording, and that is that we are still operating as the Japanese Christian Church of Tucson, or JCCT for short. We are still receiving offerings. My wife and I donated today, and because we got some money in yesterday, so we were just happy as can be, and the Lord is blessing us. So we gave some money to the church because we want to keep on doing that. And I pray for you all the time. As a pastor, I've never been in this place before, so this is new territory for me. But we are still working and operating as a body of believers. It's a little different, but we're still doing it. And so we're all going to have stories to tell in the years to come about these days. And finally, all done now with this, I'm going to make a recording, but it's going to be a video recording, and that's if I can learn the video and how to do all that stuff. So just be praying for me. Next week, I'm hoping to present to you a video recording, webcam, I think they call it. Wow, we're moving up. And so anyway, that'll be next week. So I've preached now, I don't know how many minutes. I can check my recording. Hold on. My phone goes in and out of a thing here. Oh, only 32 minutes. Aren't you glad? I didn't even go the full 45 that I thought I might. Wow. Let's pray in closing. Father, in the name of Jesus, although these are trying times, very difficult times, we can still see your hand every day in our lives. We still see the hand of God. We know what's out there. We want to thank and praise you for it. We magnify you for all these things. We lift you up as best as we can, Lord, as high as we can. We will magnify the Lord our God. We will rejoice in the Lord. We will sing praises to God. We will give the glory to the Lord, and only Him will receive that, will we give that glory to. So we want to praise you today and thank you. Help keep us all safe, Lord, every one of us safe, and that this plague will not come close to our home, that we will be safe in the arms of God. So we commit it all to the hands of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. May the Lord be with you in a great way. And I will end this right going to be at 33 minutes. What me? Oh, boom.